The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
There's certain times as a pastor that we'll turn in our Bibles and we'll deal with subject matters that could be very touchy. Tonight will be one of those subject matters, but I think will be a great help as we talk about being delivered from bitterness, being delivered from bitterness. I find that in our churches across America that sometimes people turn bitter on the inside. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not God's fault. It's certainly not the Bible's fault, but it's that individual that chooses to become bitter. It is their fault. But there is a cure to bitterness, and God has the cure to all things. I think it's very sad when people live in bitterness, and it ruins their life forever. But let's look at it tonight. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 30. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Now, we learned by that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. I was talking to a believer not too long ago, and here's what they said. I said, "Well, how come you do that at this certain thing?" And by the way, what they were doing was not just wrong, it was sinful. And I said, "Why are you doing this certain thing?" And here was the person's answer to that question. "Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it." Well, can I tell you, it doesn't matter if we see something wrong with something or not. If God says something is wrong, we need to believe God, okay? And so we have to understand, however, there's a time when we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit," it says, "of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." The Bible says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, as we talk tonight about being delivered from bitterness, what I want to do is I want to give you the total picture of what bitterness is all about. Then I want to give you a Bible cure, an antidote, if you will, that will help you if you are having difficulty with bitterness to see an escape. Perhaps you have a friend that's having trouble with bitterness, to give them an escape. Maybe you or your friend or neighbors are not having trouble with it at all, but at least you'll know the antidote in case it ever does come knocking at your door or the neighbor's door or a loved one's door. Let's notice, if you will, just a couple of things tonight as we talk about the condemnation, if you would please, of bitterness, the contamination. How is it that a person becomes consumed with that which is bitterness? The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 14, the Bible says, "Follow peace," it says, "with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord." All right, wait a minute. So a person that is not following, the Bible says to follow peace with all men. So a person, stay with me now, a person that is not in peace with men. Of course, we know this, I've said this often, that a young person that is not right with their parent cannot be right with God. Amen. By the way, a young person that's not right with authority cannot be right with God. Amen. Here's what happens. When a person is not with peace, the Bible says with all men, it blurs their vision. What happens here is they're not able to see. The Bible says right here, "without which no man shall see the Lord." Okay, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Looking diligently, lest any man," it says, "fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness," that's a single root, if you will, "lest any root," not plural, but a single root of bitterness, "lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many be defiled." Okay, so what happens when all of a sudden, by the way, somebody, just like a root, when a root is down beneath the soil, you can't see it. You know, bitterness many times can be hidden, and bitterness can be hidden for many years. But then all of a sudden it shows up. It shows up in attitude. It shows up in the way a person is talking to someone. It shows up in their disposition. It shows up in maybe a cockiness or an arrogance in the way that they perform a task that they're doing for an individual. But eventually, here's what happens. Bitterness is a root, but the Bible says eventually, here's what's going to happen. That bitterness is going to come to the surface. That bitterness is going to spring up. Now, the Bible says that bitterness is going to hurt you, but it's also going to be something that's damaging to other people around you. All right, so here's what we understand. There is that which is the condemnation. There is that which is that overcoming, that bitterness that overcomes you, whereby you could be destroyed and hurt other people. Statement number two, there's a cause for bitterness. Now, I'm going to show you some different causes here. One cause is this, not willing to accept what God's will is. I want to do this, but God wants me to do this. Well, I want to do this. I like this. I don't like this. Well, can I tell you, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that ye are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. You are not yourselves. You are bought with a price. You have no right to choose the will of God for your life. You only have a right to submit to God's will for your life. Okay? And so there's a cause of bitterness, not willing to accept God's will. We have the example of that in Ruth chapter 1, if you will, in verse 20. The Bible says, and she said unto them, she said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. It says, for the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. Okay, so here was a person, God's will was that they were not supposed to sojourn someplace. God's will was that they were supposed to stay in Bethel. But here's what happened. They went to another place. She had lost her boys. Now she's becoming very bitter. And as she becomes bitter, she returns back to Bethlehem. And as she's returning back, or to Bethel rather, not Bethlehem, but returning back to Bethel, the house of bread, the Bible says those around her are coming up to her, and here's what they say to her, oh, welcome home. And she says, oh, don't call me Naomi anymore, but call me Mara, for I am bitter. You know, sometimes circumstances that you go through can cause you to become bitter. Also, we see sometimes there's preconceived rights. A person says this, like Jonah did. Jonah chapter 4 and in verse 9, the Bible says, and God said unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? He said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. All right, so Jonah's sitting here, and he's just mad at the gourd, okay? Now, wait a minute. And God said, well, what is that all about? Does it do you benefit? Does it do you well? Is there any profit to be angry at the gourd? And I can imagine Jonah there crossing his arms, looking at God, and says, yes, it does me well. You know, most of the time, somebody that is bitter, they choose to be bitter and they keep it in, but they take their bitterness out on other people. It's dad's fault. It's mom's fault. It's brother's fault. It's sister's fault. It's preacher's fault. It's God's fault. It's Sunday school teacher's fault. It's the bus captain's fault. It's Texas' fault. It's Oklahoma's fault. It's California's fault. It's the Philippines' fault. And they always pass the buck. They don't take personal responsibility for the reasons that bitterness is coming in their life. They're always saying, I'm bitter. My daddy never taught me to fish, and so I'm bitter. My daddy never spent time with me, never took me hunting, and so I'm bitter. What about thanking God for your daddy that put food on the table? What about thanking God for your daddy that gave you a bed to sleep in, carpet to walk on, a car to drive, gas from time to time? Hey, there is different ways to look at it, you know. You don't always, well, you know, I'll tell you what, my husband and I, we're not getting along right now, and there's just so many problems between us. We just can't seem to work it out. But can I tell you, God's not dead. God can help you to work things out, but you have to decide to take personal responsibility to be able to make things to work out. So we see that there is a condemnation that goes with bitterness. There's a cause for bitterness. Let me give you some characteristics about about bitterness. How can bitterness be characterized? What is it that you can see in a person that the light comes on and says, aha, that is a bitter person? Let me show you how you can find out if somebody's bitter. All right? You say, oh, I don't want to hear this. By the way, if you're ducking underneath the pew right now because you don't want to hear it, it might be because you're already bitter. But let me give you some characteristics about what a bitter person is. You can see it in their life. Statement number one, they remember details. When you deal with a bitter person, here's what happens. They remember every single thing that you ever did to hurt them. They'll probably write it down on the paper. They review it over and over and over again. It's like a cancer. They'll lay on their bed at night and they'll say, I was hurt by this, I was hurt by this, I was hurt by this, I was hurt. And they live in that zone of taking that bitterness and they rehearse it, they review it over and over and over and over and over again. And it eats their very lunch. Well, I would never trust that person again because this time and this time and this time and this time they broke their word. Well, I would never love that person again because after all, they did this to me this time and this time and this time and this time and they don't deserve my love. Well, I would never forgive him because after all, he said this and this and this and this and this and this and every time I see them, it bothers me and I just cannot forgive them. You're right. You cannot forgive them apart from God. It takes you getting close to God to enact God's forgiveness through you.
Amen.
You try, can I tell you, we are bitter people for the most part. Most of you tonight are not good enough Christians to forgive somebody that hurts you. Most of you. Most of us that stands behind pulpits within ourselves, the Bible says, dwelleth no good thing. And for a preacher to get up and pretense to say, I've never had a problem with bitterness, he's either lying or not telling the truth. You choose which one. Because everybody at one time or another will become entangled with a form or a degree of bitterness. Okay, so what are some of the characteristics? Number one, they remember details. They write them down, they rehearse them over and over again. Statement number two, bitterness accuses others. Listen to it now. And excuses their self. So somebody's dealing with bitterness all the time. Here's what they're doing. They're always the good one. It was so-and-so's fault. And by the way, it was all their fault. They take no blame. They are living a self-righteous, indignant type of a pharisaical type of life. Everything is everybody else's fault. By the way, when you do marriage counseling, if you got one person here saying it's all their fault, and you got this person here saying it's all their fault, can I tell you, there will be no resolution. When you're dealing with that, which is the parent and child relationship, when the parent is bitter against the child or the child is bitter against the parent and they're in their corners and they're standing separately and they're huffing and puffing and smoke is coming out their nostrils and out their ears and their face is red and their neck is swollen and they're standing there in their own boxing corner and they're getting, can I tell you, there can be no resolution. We have to understand that we should not excuse away. Let me give you, over in James chapter 3 and in verse 14, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and if ye have a bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. He says, when you have that bitterness in your heart, don't glory in that. In other words, don't become the powder puff that says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm right. And that person is wrong. When a person stands on their own self-pride, they're destined to a fall. The Bible says here in James chapter 3 and verse 15, wisdom, it says, descendeth, it says, not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's the pattern. First, this person of pride, here's what they do. They try to persuade everybody else that I am right, that person's wrong, and they use earthly wisdom to try to convey that. They will use, if you will please, that which is a relationship. I was telling Brother Bell, and we were back, and I said, you know, it always amazes me that, but it's true, it's very true in relationships, that which is blood is always thicker than Bible. You know, there's people that, okay, preacher gets up, and preacher will, and by the way, don't get mad at the preacher. You're going to get mad at anybody. Get mad at his assistants. But don't get mad at the preacher. Preacher gets up and preacher preaches the word of God. He's not doing it because he's got you in mind. Your name's not written on the sermon. Don't flatter yourself. You're not that important. But what I'm saying tonight, when the preacher gets up and the preacher preaches the whole counsel of God and the sweet Holy Spirit of God comes down and lands in your lap and hugs you and squeezes you and says, that's for you, then you take it for you. But the preacher's supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. You're going to hear things from this pulpit, I can promise you, that you don't like. I've read things in the Bible that I look at and I say, God, I just don't know if I can buy into that. But you're God and I'm Mike. Therefore, I believe you more than I believe myself. There had to come a time in my life when I looked at the Bible as being my total authority. The Bible in my life is not just a book that I read that it has no variance or it has no the Bible in the life is, in my life, is the roadmap whereby I will trod. Now, sometimes my flesh doesn't like that. And by the way, if you're honest tonight, sometimes when you hear things from the Bible, you don't like that either. How is it that we see the characteristics of a person? Well, they're always remembering details. Signs of a bitter person. Bitterness accuses others and always excuses themselves. James chapter 3 and in verse 18, the Bible says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. What's another characteristic? A characteristic is this: bitterness causes loneliness. You know, bitter people don't like to stay around other people. Bitter people don't like to hang around other people. They come late, they leave early. You try to become their friend, and they're wrapped up in their self. You try to be able to help them, and they do not want anybody's help. Bitter people are normally self-centered islands. And they don't want anything else to do with anybody else. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15, the Bible says, but if ye forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What's another characteristic? Bitterness reveals itself. Are you listening to it? Here it is. James chapter 3 and in verse 11, the Bible says, doth a fountain send, it says, forth at the same place, sweet water and bitter? No, it doesn't. It's impossible. So bitterness will reveal itself. I've often said if somebody squeezes you, they find out what you're really like. If somebody squeezes you and you have sweetness on the inside, when somebody squeezes you, sweetness comes out. When you are squeezed or pressured by something that happens, a life event, and all of a sudden hatred comes out, that's the real you. When unforgiveness comes out, that's the real you. When somebody squeezes you and the pressures of life come down hard, and all of a sudden the curse words comes out, the profanity comes out, the shortness comes out, the patience comes out, the joy comes out, the forgiveness comes out, the love comes out, the hope comes out, that which is positive attitude comes out, that which negative attitude comes out. All of a sudden, when life puts pressure on you, whatever comes out is the real you. Let me give you some casualties of bitterness. Statement number one, bitterness always blinds. Bitterness always blinds. You don't see God's goodness, all you see is negative. Behind every pillar, there's a terrorist. You don't see the positive. The world is collapsing. And it's all coming on me. You don't see that you could also be a part of the problem, yea, even a part of the solution. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 3 and in verse 14, the Bible says, but if ye have bitter envying, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 11, 1 John 2:11, the Bible says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. It says, walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so a person that is bitter, they can't see right. A person that's eat up with bitter, you know, I know people that are married that are bitter against each other, and no matter what she does, he never sees it. No matter what she does, he just never pays attention. Cooks the nicest meal, never sees it. By the way, I can show you the opposite too. All of a sudden, here he is, and the wife is bitter against the husband, and he comes home, she's not thankful for anything. Soon as he walks in the door, she begins complaining about this, complaining about that, griping about this, griping about that, complaining about the children, complaining about the house, complaining about the circumstances, complaining about the church, complaining about the car, just full of complaint. Now, why is that? There's some bitterness going on. Bitterness blinds. Statement number next. Bitterness binds. It binds a person. Listen to it. Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, the Bible says, and I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and bound, it says, of iniquity. You know, bitterness will bind a person. They don't have the freedoms that somebody, the Bible says, where the spirit of the what is? Where the spirit of the, talk to me, where the spirit of the, where the spirit of the, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is? Wow. Here's a person bound in the flesh, no liberty. Here's a person that is walking in the Spirit of the Lord and they have much liberty. They enjoy life. They're smiling. They're having a good time. They're laughing at your jokes. They're enjoying Christianity. They're coming to church. They don't look like they've been sucking on lemons. You know, bitterness binds. You ready? Bitterness blisters. You ever get a sore? I used to work, when I'd go home and I'd get a machete. Weeds would grow up down around areas they should not be growing up, maybe a fence post that was an electric area or something like that. And I'd take that machete, and for mom and daddy, I would go out and I would cut down the weeds to get them away from, you know, the electric fence that would run to keep animals in or animals out or whatever. But I'd take that machete and I'd go down there. And boy, I tell you what, when I went home, I'd use that machete over and over and over again to the point I'd get the blisters. You ever have a blister? And first it gets kind of puffy. Then it gets liquid inside of it. And then, you know, you touch it and it hurts. Or in some cases, you know, it's a big one, and so you touch it, and you pretend it's a trampoline, and you play with it.
Well.
And you take a knife or you take a pen and you pop it. You squeeze all the liquid out. And then you go to pick up something else, and it hurts. Think, why did I do that? All right, now wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Did you know that's what bitterness does? It blisters. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? You can't ever please them. It's always hurt. It's always hurt. Every time they pick something up, it hurts. Okay? The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Somebody that is bitter, somebody that's offended, they have this hard exterior. Just hard. Hey, brother, it's great to see you. God bless you. Glad you're here. Man, God has been so good to me. Wow! God has answered this prayer and this prayer. What's God done in your life? Preacher gets up and he tells or he gives a funny illustration or something like that, and you look out and boy, there's people out there. And then you see people out there. You know bitterness will affect your spirit? Point in case, some people can't wait to come to church. Oh, man, I can't wait. It's going to be so good. Other people, when they come to church, they feel in prison. Well, I got to go. It's my duty, my responsibility. Got to go. Well, look, I'd rather you be a backslider in church than a backslider out of church. When Peter backslid, at least he stayed close so he could get front-slidden in a short amount of time and preached on the day of Pentecost. Check it out. Jacob got backslidden, went 500 miles away, and took him 20 years to get right. I'd rather somebody come to church and not smile and not enjoy church and sit there and say, oh, 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 he's talking about God again. Does that really surprise you when you come to church? I mean, really, come on. Man, preacher got up and he preached and he hit the pulpit. Does that really surprise you? Man, they got up and they sang a song. And it was all about Jesus. And they smiled. How could they do that? You're in church. Isn't that what church is supposed to be like? Wait a minute, watch. So bitterness sometimes blisters. You ready? Bitterness blurs. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 13, it says their throat is an open sepulcher. It says in their tongues, it says they use deceit, and poison asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. So wait a minute, what does it do? It blurts out things it shouldn't. You know, a bitter person, stay with me, a bitter person will blurt out things that will only, stay with me, profit them. They will not blurt out things that will profit others. You ready? Here we go. Don't get mad at me. I'm not done yet. Okay, bitterness will blossom and bleed. It will blossom and bleed. It's a root, comes up, many are defiled. You ready? Bitterness builds. Bible says that Naomi left, she was known as Naomi. She came back, she was known as Mara. What happened? It built. She left one way, returned another way. It built. Somebody says, how do you keep it from building? We'll get to there in a minute. Statement number next, bitterness butchers. It butchers. It's always cutting things up. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, the Bible says, he that being often reproved, stay with it now, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. You have parents that say, hey, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And you say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. My parents have no right to tell me what to do. Now, let me help you a little bit. If you're living in their home and you're eating their food and you're sleeping in their bed and you're walking on their carpet, they have every right to tell you what to do. You say, well, I'm 24 years of age. They shouldn't tell me what to do. If you're living in their home and you're walking on their floor and you're sleeping in their bed and you're eating their food, they have every right to tell you what to do. And by the way, you ought to obey them gladly. Hey, go down to Chick-fil-A and say, teach me how to have good manners. And they come up to you and say, what did they say? What did they say? Chick-fil-A? My pleasure. Whoa. You know, they come over, they say, do you want something to drink? Oh, yeah, I'd like some more water. And they bring it back. I say, thank you. And they say, my pleasure. Do you want anything else? Well, while it's your pleasure. Okay, now wait a minute. Why don't you be thankful? Come on. Boy, this is going over like a dead horse in the wintertime. Bitterness builds. It builds. Statement number next. Bitterness butchers. Proverbs, I said a moment ago, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, he that being often, it says reproved, often reproved. Mom says no, daddy says no, mom says no, daddy says no. You say, well, how do I get them to stop? It's bothering me. Stop doing what they're telling you no. I was at youth camp years ago. Teenagers came up, asked me a pretty intelligent question, so I thought I'd give them a pretty intelligent answer. He said, my parents are bugging me, preacher. How do I get them off my back? They keep saying, clean the room, clean the room, clean the room, clean the room. How do I get them to stop? What do you think I said? I said, clean the room. He said, oh. Bitterness butchers. James chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Right. Let me give you the cure. You ready? Cure. We're going to go home after this. Can I get an amen? We're going to go home after this. My cure is only 9 pages long. Oh, no, I'm kidding. Here we go. Cure. I'll give you 10 minutes of cure. By the way, if you're going to write anything down, write the cure down. How do you cure bitterness? Number one, receive God's grace. Stop resisting it. A person that has problems with bitterness is somebody that's resisting God's grace. Stop it. Stop it. Stop resisting God's grace. Well, I wish my husband... Get over it. Love your husband for who he is. Well, I wish my wife... Stop it. Love your wife for who she is. Now, listen to me. Here it is. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, whereby many be defiled. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Receive God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is unmerited favor. God has been good to you. Now, what am I saying by receiving God's grace? Start looking for the good things. There was a time in our family, and Mrs. Wells and I was talking about this the other day as we were counseling a dear mother and about child rearing. And one of the things, I love counseling people with my wife. My wife remembers things that we did in rearing children that I have long since forgotten. I'm 54. She's still quite young. She has a better, vibrant memory than I. And so many times, more than not, when somebody comes in and they're asking for wisdom about child rearing, I have my wife to meet with me, and I'll say, now, honey, I remember when we did this, and then she'll add to it, yeah, but we also did this. But I remember when our children, well, one of our children, I remember it's two of them. I remember it's three of them. No, all four. No, I'm kidding, just two. But I remember that they were having difficulty with each other. So we said, we don't want you to talk negative about your brother. It's two brothers. We don't want you to talk negative about your brother anymore. If you can't say something nice, keep your mouth shut. But we did not want to do an absence without a positive. Why are you laughing? Was you one of the brothers? Were you the other one? I remember who the two brothers were. But we did something else too. We said, here's what we want you to do. We want you every day to write 10 things down that you see that are positive and of a good value in your brother. Every day you're going to write 10 things down. Not only that, you're going to go to your brother, and every day you're going to tell them throughout the day. Now, I don't want you to read the list, but throughout the day, you're going to tell them until you complete your list all 10 of those things. You're going to check them off. You're not allowed to say two of them at one time. You're not allowed to say two of them within 30 minutes. But throughout the day, we want you to compliment your brother with those 10 positive things that you saw in them sometime throughout the day. You say, what is that, preacher? It's called mind control. So that's not right. I'd rather you have your mind controlled with positive, godly, than to continue to let the devil control your mind, which he's doing. You're letting somebody control your mind. Man, you go home and all you do is talk about somebody. Well, let me tell you about the trash I saw in somebody else's life. Quiet! Hey, why don't you find something good to say? Stop trashing the people! God loves them. God gave His Son for them. What gives you the right to be judged? I'm glad I got that out of my system. Receive the grace of God. Statement number two, take ownership. Take ownership. Bitterness must be owned independently. Take ownership. Take ownership. You know, understand that if you're bitter, you own it. And by the way, it's not joint ownership. You're bitter, and so you go to your husband and say, well, this is bothering me. Why is this not bothering you? Why is it that I'm the one that's being bothered? Don't you care? Well, they may care, but they might not be on your same plate. Hello? Husband goes to the wife. Doesn't this bother you? Doesn't this bother you? Every time I see that person, they bother me. Oh, doesn't this eat you down inside? This is ripping me up every time I see their face. Oh, I want to rip their face off. Doesn't this bother you? And she says, oh no, honey. I love God. Hello? Your kid comes home. Yanny. So-and-so's not my friend because I saw them in the hallway and I knew they were talking about me. Yanny. They gathered down around the bookstore, and I know that they were getting books to get even with me. They weren't reading it to be able to grow in God. They were getting those books to get even. Again. What do you do with that? You stop it. You stop it. I'm saying tonight, take ownership. Here we go. See. Release. Here you go. I'm done. I'm almost done. Here it is. I'm almost done. Here it is. Release both the offense and the offender. Well, I can't believe they said that about me. Okay, why don't you do this? I know they probably had a bad day. They probably didn't mean it. I'll give them that grace. I'll give them that grace. Well, I can't believe Brother Crutcher said that to my kid. My kid came home and told me. Well, let me ask you something. Since your kid is probably not angelic, did you ask Brother Crutcher if he said it? Well, I can't believe that Brother Butler, he went into my child's portfolio, went into, what do you call that? No. Grades. No, grades.
Transcript.
Thank you. He went into my kid's transcript. Brother Butler did. And he changed all my kid's grades and he failed my kid. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that this person right here is evil with glaring red eyes that is looking out there for your kids saying with fangs coming out of his mouth, I'm gonna get him? You really believe that? This poor, innocent, compassionate, giving, caring man, you believe he has the ability to do that? Now, as for Brother Craig, I'm kidding. He's already lost his hair. Realize that both the offense and the offender, release them. Release them. There are things that has happened in our church that I will never mention from this pulpit. There's darts been thrown at me. There has knives been thrown at me. Well, not real, Mrs. Rushing. Not real. No, not real knives. Only my wife does that. Not real knives. Poor Mrs. Rushing. She's sitting there, boy, she's taking it all in, thinking, man, somebody threw a knife at the preacher. I'm talking about words. Javelins, all this stuff, but not real javelins. Miss Rushing loves me. Only Mrs. Rushing is allowed to hit me. Is that right? Is that right? We were over at Mrs. Williams' house. We were fellowshipping. Can I tell this, Mrs. Rushing? Is it okay? I can't tell it. I always obey my elders. I won't. Release both the offense and the offender. By the way, stop me after church. I will tell you secretly, $5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, who is his own self? It says bear. It says who? It says his own self. Bear, it says our sins and his own body on the tree. It says that we, being dead to sin, should live. It says unto righteousness, by whom his stripes we are healed. Christ did that for you and me. Christ did that for you and me. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'll read two other verses after this, and I'm done with the closing illustration. Here it is. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. They say to make a beautiful pearl that the grains of sand in the oyster, to make that beautiful pearl goes through all sorts of distress. The roughing, the tearing, the rubbing, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Stay with me. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Wait a minute. back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Eventually the pearl begins to develop. Back and forth, back and forth. If it stays in there, back and forth, back and forth. It develops into a beautiful back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth pearl. Back and forth, back and forth. That's worth great value. You're like the pearl. You have people around you, it's like sandpaper. You have parents that sometimes are sandpaper. Sometimes a preacher's message to your life is sandpaper. Sometimes your boss, your husband, maybe a wife, children, grandchildren, a grandparent, school teacher, principal, youth director, Sunday school teacher, bus captain. Why can't you realize what God's doing instead of getting mad? Why can't you realize that God, come on. Here it is, I'm done, last illustration. Connection to that one, part two. Catholic boy. Didn't get saved until I was 18. Walked into a church, never been in a fundamental independent Baptist church before a day in my life. 18. Walked in, had long hair, foul mouth. To me, saying curse words was normal speech. I want you to get the grip on this. To me, saying bad words were normal speech. Never killed anybody. Well, don't you thank God for that? Never robbed the store. Never stole from somebody's purity. Never did those things. Wait a minute, watch. But man, I was as lost as a lost man could ever be. Heavily involved in sports, shooting for a scholarship. But man, I was lost. Stay with me. That night when he led me to Christ, got saved, walked inside of an independent Baptist church, I was the strangest bird in that church. Man, everybody else looked like you. I was a duck out of water. I came to church, long hair, foul mouth, didn't know what was right, what was wrong, never owned a tie in my life, never even wanted to own a suit. That was for business people and geeks. That's the way I viewed it. I'm just being honest. That's the way I viewed it. I walked in the church that morning, strange. I'm talking about just downright strange. There was no statues. The cross somebody stole Jesus off of. I couldn't find St. Peter anywhere. Where was Mary? St. Andrew? I was scared. I thought, man, what is this? I thought, man, what is that? What is this? I mean, what is it? Went to church. I sat there. Heard Dr. Smith for the first time get up and preach. I've never heard anything like that in my entire life. He raised his voice, shook his hand in the air, pointed his finger, face turning red, sweat peeling off. And I thought, whoa, he's excited. I listened attentively. I went back Sunday night just to see if he could do it. It had my interest so much. I wanted to see if he'd give me something else I could learn. I wouldn't learn anything before.
Right. Amen.
Honestly, I wasn't. Yeah. I was an altar boy for 5 years, went to church, All I knew was the general stories about Jesus Christ. That's all I knew. I knew just general stories. I knew how to repeat things. As the priest would say something, we would repeat it back. Priest would say something, we would repeat it back. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. I learned to go to the priest in my confessional time, and I would tell the priest what sins I wanted him to know. And he would tell me how many Hail Marys to say and Holy Fathers to say, and I'd get my rosary. Always used my mom's rosary. I still got it today. I don't use anymore. But I still got my mom's rosary, still got my mom's Bible. I still got my dad's Bible that was written in Latin. I still keep it. It's very, very personal to me. So I still got those things. I remember those days back then. Stay with me. Stay with me. Boy, that preacher would get up, and boy, he would preach. And Rebecca, honestly, when your daddy would sit in that church, I was just overwhelmed. I never saw truth that way. And then I got my first Bible, and I thought, wow, I get to hold God's Word in my hand. I thought, this is so neat. I got to take my Bible, and I went in the bathroom. I didn't want to offend my parents, and John had opened the Bible in the bathroom. I locked the door. I didn't want my parents to be offended, but I wanted to know my God. I go in the bathroom, and I lock the door and sit on the toilet, and I'd read the Bible. My mom would knock on the door, and she'd always ask the same thing. Are you okay in there? We've only got one bathroom in the house. My brother's knocking. Are you ever coming out? My mom told me one day, we need to have you physically examined. I said, why? She said, something is bad wrong with you. I said, what are you talking about? She says, you go in the bathroom and you're in there sometimes for hours. Well, I didn't know I was in there for hours. I had a comfortable seat. And I'd sit there, Brother Butler, I'd sit there, read my Bible. I'd cry. Mrs. York, if you would see my Bible, the brown one I keep, one that was given to me, it's got tears all through the pages. Mrs. Barker, I'd just sit there and I'd read that Bible and I'd just cry. I said, boy, God, this is so good. Then I started reading about different things that I saw in the Bible. I said, ooh, I need to work on that. You know, I grew in the Lord not through preaching as much as I did through Bible reading. I'd see something in the Bible and say, wow, ooh, I'm doing that. Ooh, I better stop. God started speaking to my heart. Then came time to go to Bible college. I went to my daddy and I went to my mom. I went to my mom first and I said, Mom, I'd really like to go to Bible college. I don't want to go to Bible college except for learning the Bible. I just need extra help. I'm not getting out of it all that I should. Would you give me permission, you and daddy, let me go to Bible college? And they said, not on your life. A Baptist college? No way. I started praying. Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it. I started praying, saying, dear God, please change mom and daddy's heart. I really want to go to Bible college. And you know God did? Never forget it. Got off the Greyhound bus. You listen to me. Went to Bible college. Brother Costa got off the Greyhound bus, walked into the college administration office, had blue jeans on, flannel shirt, gray boots, remember it to this day, cowboy hat that I wore in the past year or so, and rodeos that stunk like rodeo. Walked in, I said, I'm here to get in. Apparently, I insulted them. They thought I was a bum off the street. I said, we know where you need to go. I thought I was in the right place. So I was told to go. They put me in a car, took me down to a rescue mission. I looked at all the bums on the streets. I was raised in a very upright home. I knew I didn't belong there. And if that was really Bible college, I'm going home. I said, no, I'm not getting out of the car. I said, you take me back to that woman that sent me here. She's not right. Took me back to the college. I got out and I said, I'm here for Bible college. Now you tell me how I get in. They said, how are you going to pay your bill? Well, I didn't know they charged. I had no idea. I didn't research it. All I knew is my pastor said, you go to that Bible college. And I said, yes, sir. I bought a bus ticket. I didn't check nothing out. And I went to Bible college because my preacher said.
Amen.
That's all it was to it. I was used to obeying authority. So I got on the bus, went down to Bible college, and they said, well, how are you going to pay? I said, well, God wants me here. I guess he'll pay. And the woman laughed at me. I was at Bible college, and they didn't even believe the Bible. She laughed at me. Brother Croft, she sat there, and she said, no, tell me, really, how are you going to pay? I leaned over. I said, really? God. And she said, you'll have to talk to somebody else. So I guess, okay, she's going to help me find somebody else that knows God. Took me into another place. It was like his place right there. And he said, okay, let's get a plan. I thought, man, I'm good with that. He said, you have to pay X amount of dollars every month. He said, now, where do you work? I said, I just got here today. He said, okay, who's hired you? I said, no one. He said, well, how are you going to pay? God. He said, no, really. God. I went out. You listen to me. I went out. My daddy taught me this. If you don't have a job, then you don't put as many hours looking for a job in as you would working a job. First day after Bible college, I didn't have a car. I walked the streets for 8 hours. Second day, 8 hours. Third day, 8 hours. And I landed 2 jobs. Say, so how'd you get to the jobs? Brother Kenny could be my cousin. He doesn't look like my brother, so he could be my cousin. I walked. First year, until God gave me my first car. Man, I'm walking to Bible, or first 6 months. He gave me my first car after 6 months. I'm walking to the job every day. Just walking to the job every day. Walking to the job every day. Then, a little after that, my brother sent me a 10-speed bike. And so I had the 10-speed bike, and I'd ride. That's what it looks like when you ride. I'd ride to work. Then, a little while after that, somebody gave me a car. Thanks to Brother Roloff preaching, and somebody came up, gave me car keys, says it's yours, okay, and then God gave me other car. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, you listen to me now. I never got bitter at God. Had to work 2 jobs, got very little sleep, never complained. They said, hey, I want you to work this bus route. Sure. I want you to lead singing over here. Absolutely. That's what I'm here for. I want to be used. You tell me what to do. I don't care what it is. I'm here. That's why I'm here. You choose how to train me because I don't know how I need to be trained. So you choose how to train me. They said, well, you're gonna learn to be a soul winner and lead people. Okay, I already knew how to lead people to Christ. But they said, you're going to learn to be a soul winner and lead people to Christ. Sure, sure, sure. Hey, we want you to be involved in the Bible club. Hey, great, great. Want you to be a bus captain. Super. Hey, you're going to lead singing in this Sunday afternoon program. I got it. Hey, it's been that way all my life. You say, hey man, I need this. Hey, let me help. We clean up over in the gymnasium. I see trash that's overflowing. Hey man, I'll go over and grab it up, you know, start tying it off. One of the guys that come up, preacher, you don't need to. Hey, thank God for you. But that's the way it should be. Nobody had to beg me to say, what'd you do this? What? All I had to do is mention it. Amen. Mention it. I say, hey, I'll do it. I was the first one. Let me do it. You've already got too much going on. Hey, I'll work it in. I'll work the details out. Then I started getting guys involved. They said, we need you to be, they were going crazy on me. They're saying, we need you to be in this charge of this Bible club and this Bible club. And so I had problems because I couldn't be in 2 places at one time. And so I said, hey, I'll do it. Then I figured out, okay, how do I do this? I got a guy in Bible college, he's just sitting around doing nothing, having poochie lip disease. He's my target. So I'd go over to him, and I'd say, okay, hey, guess what? This Saturday, you and I are doing Bible clubs. And he'd say, I don't want to. I said, change your wonder as we're walking. I just pull him along. By the way, you don't enjoy serving Jesus Christ until you are serving Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, you know, hey, first I've got to want it. No, first you do it, then you want it.
Amen.
Bible says, he that doeth, happy is he.
Amen.
First you do it, then you become happy. Wait a minute. So I say, hey, come on, you're going to help me in the Bible club. Well, I don't want to. It's okay, keep up, you're slow. And come on, let's go over here. I'm going to lead the first song. You're going to lead the second song. Never led a song before. Good, time to learn. Okay? And then I'm serious. Then he said, hey, you're doing such a good job with two Bible clubs. Hey, now we're going to give you three. I think, okay, who can I get? Oh, there's that guy. I remember him. Looks like an older guy. Probably don't think God could ever use him. Lost all his hair. Hey, I got him. Here we go. Hey, let's go, man. Let's go do it. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
You know, these guys were hired. You know why they were hired? Help you grow. You know what they're supposed to do? They're supposed to come up to you as a member and say, hey, look, man, I got a bus route. I want you to help us on. Come over here. Let's go do it. Hey, we need you now to sing in the choir. I can't sing. Yeah, we know.
Amen.
That's what it's supposed to be. Hey, man, can you help us over the summer? Man, we got rooms need to be painted. Oh, he's going to hold a hand. Let's do it. Got rooms need to be painted. Man, it's going to be good. Joby, what do you think about this? Hey, come soul winning. Why is your face red? Go soul winning. Saturday, man, let's go soul winning. Let's do it.
Amen.
Hey, this summer, see people saved. Tracks turned that. People getting saved. Huh, man, look at that guy over there. Hey, let's get him. You want him? Hey, you go. Go get him. Wow. Hey, this is great. Look at this.
Did I get the wrong one?
Doesn't matter. Okay, we're done. What serving God's all about. Went to one of my boys. I said, look, I need a bus captain. I love you. You're it. He said, yes, sir. Went to the other boy. I said, I got a bus route coming open. I prayed about it. You're it. Hello? Jonathan loves working with children. Is that right? Do you want to be a youth director? Be honest. No. I said, Jonathan, Brother Nash is getting ready to go into outer darkness. I need a youth director. He said, oh, Dad, I love the children. I said, you'll love the teenagers. But, Dad, you know, I've always felt that maybe I was called to work of children. Children grow up. Come on, Doc, I need you to be a youth director. What about it? He said, anything you want, I'll do it. Come on. Last illustration, I'm done. I promise. Graduated Bible college. I thank God for my dear wife. Not 70 years like the Davises, but we're at 31. Yeah, I love her with all my heart. Watch this. Graduated Bible college, walked into a little country house out in the country. Went to my wife and I said, honey, I think God's speaking to my heart to go to New York City. What do you think? Here's what she said. If that's what you believe, that's what we'll do. I said, that's what I believe. I said, I'd like to contact them back, say, we're coming. She said, you're the man of the home. You're my head. You're my spiritual leader. Honey, it's whatever you say. Went to New York. Served in New York for a while. All of a sudden, church down in Mississippi called me. Large church. At that time, was the largest independent Baptist church in the state of Mississippi. Had a struggling youth department. The guy before me kind of went haywire. Ruined a bunch of lives. They called me up, and the pastor said, hey, I don't want a popcorn, hot dog, sports youth type of program. I want spiritual kids. Can you come and do what you did in New York? I said, yes, sir, I only know one way. Moved down to Mississippi, stayed there for 8 years. Are you listening to me? Never bellyached. Took a church in Tennessee. Never complained, Brother Weslowski, not one time. Went into evangelism, left the security of the pastor. This was wild. I walked in one day, and we were going to go down to New Orleans and start a church. Some people don't connect that segment of the story. Was going to go down to New Orleans and start a church. We even bought a house in New Orleans over in Kenner. I was going to start an independent Baptist church. New Orleans needed churches. Hey, why not? Wanted to go to where people was. I was tired of looking at cows. Moved down there. Going to start a church. Got there. My phone rang. Said, we got a youth rally. We got some things going on. Can you come preach for me? I said, sure. Phone rang again. I called Dr. Robertson at his house, Lee Robertson. I said, I need to know something. I want to make sure I'm not missing God's will. My phone keeps ringing. People want me to come preach for him, but I'm thinking about starting this church. What should I do? He said, Michael, answer the phone. He said, no man chases another man unless God pushes him. Answer the phone. I said, okay. So I kept answering the phone. For 12 years, I answered phones. We never pushed our way into a meeting. God was kind. The phone just kept ringing. One day, a guy by the name of Dr. May rang my phone. We were up in Tennessee. That's the other part of God's country. It's called Texas North. Had a cabin. We were at Olive Garden. Told my wife, I'm not going to work on a book. I'm not going to write a sermon. It's just you and me. Brother Owens and I were supposed to preach together a couple weeks out. And Brother Owens called me, looked at my wife. I said, it's Brother Owens. I said, we're supposed to preach together in a couple weeks. Maybe something's come up. Maybe I need to replace him. I don't know. I probably need to take it. But I won't take it unless you say so. She said, honey, it's okay. I answered the phone. He said, there's a guy in Texas, Larry May. Never heard of him. Honestly, I never heard of him. Not being mean, I just never heard of him. I think we met one time in our life prior to this. That was it. And he said, there's a guy in Texas by the name of Larry May. He's wanting to resign and retire. We're in his office right now. He said, he asked me, who would I get? And I told him, there's only one guy in America I would get, and that's you. Would you be interested in talking to him? I said, man, I don't know, Doc. Texas? I mean, really, Texas? Everybody's saved in Texas. It's where the Sword of the Lord started. It's where Brother Howes came from. Come on, Texas. Don't get into it too much. Dr. May got on the phone. He said, look, I want you to come and see it. I want to show it to you. He said, I'd like to fly you in or you drive in. I want you to come and see it. I said, okay. I came and Dr. May took me around. Never will forget that first trip. He took me around. He said, let me show you where the church has come from to where we are. Let me show you the potential. But more than that, let me show you the neighborhoods. I said, okay. We drove around. Dr. May poured his heart out to me. He said, we need a soul-winning preacher. a younger guy than me that has a vision that can take this church to a different level. He said, and I just feel like I need to step aside. He took me around. I mean, and he just showed me places. Brother Palmer, we rode around for a long time. He showed me this area. He said, this area needs a bus route. This area needs soul winners. Took me all these neighborhoods. And then we spent 66 hours on the phone, just talking back and forth, everything revealed, everything. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. God burdened my heart to come. So I came. We believe that was God's call. My family believed that too. Matter of fact, my family said, Dad, if you don't go, we'll go without you. I said, okay, Mom, you pastor the church. The boys can be deacons. Rebecca, you can lead singing. But I'm telling you, listen to me. Has there been times when we've gone through some trials here? Yeah. Have I gotten bitter? No. Have I ever rejoiced over anybody that's ever decided to get sideways with truth, the preacher? No. Can I tell you, it is important that you keep your heart totally right with Him. And He'll bless you for doing it, and you will enjoy the trip.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.